Fast Eddie here with Tim Chopp, the president of the Berlin Airlift Historical Foundation. Tim, I hear you guys have a new project. What's it all about?
Well, Eddie, it's not really a new project. This began in 1996. One Boeing C-97 was used in the Berlin airlift during the waning months of the lift, primarily brought in for testing under actual airlift conditions. We would like to use it as a platform for a Cold War museum exhibit, similar to what we have in our C-54 as a Berlin airlift museum exhibit. So we took that on in 1996. A lot of hard work, many, many years, but we're now very near to getting it airborne.
How did you get your hands on a C-97? Not a lot of these around.
Dr. Terry Elder with the Grace Air Medical Foundation took his C-97 to Oshkosh. I didn't go that year because we were busy with the C-54 under the maintenance there at Navy Lakehurst. And some of my friends came up to me and he said, "You'll never believe what was at Oshkosh. There was a Boeing C-97 there, and here's the business card of the man that owns it, Dr. Terry Elder." So that very afternoon, I called Dr. Elder, who was still at Oshkosh with the airplane, and I said, "Look, we have plans in the future for one of these because it was used in the airlift. But when you ever want to get rid of the airplane, call me first." Well, he did 2 years later. And that was the beginning of acquiring it from him.
The airplane was actually airworthy when you got a hold of it.
It had been parked for a while, but at that time it was airworthy. What it would do, in those years, it would go to Alaska and fly salmon. And that would be in the summertime. In the wintertime, they took it back to Moses Lake, Washington, and would park it. And then resume the contract in the summer. So I happened to catch it when it was at Moses Lake, Washington. And it hadn't flown for a while, so we would call it ferryable condition.
So when you got the airplane, you grabbed a ferry permit after making sure that it was airworthy.
We took it to Grable, Wyoming, and through Hawkins and Powers, who operated a C-97 as a fire bomber. With their help, we were able to get some items done on it before it could be ferried back to New Jersey.
You ferried it from Washington to New Jersey?
From Grable, Wyoming.
Oh, Wyoming, okay.
To New Jersey. But that wasn't all in one easy sweep there. We had an engine failure.
Well, you know, there's another issue. This airplane's got the Pratt & Whitney 4360s. How difficult was it to get an engine for it?
Well, here again, Hawkins & Powers came to our aid. They loaned me an engine to get it back. Then I had to take that engine off and ship it back to them. So all this took a long time, you know, over a year.
Now, how the heck do you change a 2-ton engine?
Well, you know, certain things progress in maintenance, and getting that engine off and on is one of the easiest things to do. You can have that off in 4 hours. It's what they call a quick exchange, or it's like a pod.
So in other words, you just pop the bolts, the lines, the wires,
that is correct.
Poof, and
they're
off.
They're quick disconnect type lines, too. They're not put a wrench on and have to twist them. Yeah, they're quick disconnects.
Well, that makes it easier for
sure. It makes
it
real nice. Taking it out of that package is very difficult. Take months to do that. But we didn't have to do that. It was just take off the QEC part, put the other one on.
Well, you know, speaking of the engines, the 4360s have quite a notorious reputation. What kind of operating difficulties do you expect to have with them?
The R4360 got that reputation because of the air-to-air refuelers. And I can promise you, if we had to operate our C-54 the way they operated those tankers, our R2000s would have the same reputation. I mean, they would climb at meadow power, clear to altitude. No, we don't do that. We would operate similar to an airline-type operation, very conservative.
What were some of the more difficult aspects of restoring this airplane to flight status? Mm-hmm.
Well, having been working on this airplane actively for over 16 years, I can tell you everything on this airplane is difficult to work with. It's a very physical airplane. First of all, you got to get the right equipment. It took us years to get the right equipment. You got to have a crane capable of lifting 10,000 pounds. You got to have your forklift, special tools. It requires all of that. Consider this, the propeller on the C-97 weighs as much as the engine on the C-54.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is what you're dealing with, those kind of problems. Once you get the equipment, I mean, we can slip the 34G60 propeller on and off of the C-97 the way we do the 23E50 on our C-54. Just get some of that operating experience behind you and get the right tools, learn how to use them, and it becomes a lot easier.
What about maintenance, paperwork, manuals and stuff? How difficult was that to find?
That was early in the game. It was learning how to get these things done, gathering all the tools, the right manuals, and learning how to do it, which took the time. You know, there's a payoff off the end of all that. It might be painful going through that, but once you do, you really know the airplane, And that's what we have to do in order to operate it safely and effectively. You've got to know the airplane. And time and work is what cures that.
So you guys were always on the lookout for any kind of special tool deals or even fabricating your own
to get there. That's correct. Yes, few you had to manufacture. But talking about just the hoses and lines on the engine, I'm talking about on the entire airplane. We replaced every one.
Are you going to be running it pressurized or will you be non-pressurized?
Oh, we're non-pressurized.
Okay.
We're down to bare bones, what it takes to get it airborne. I mean, it might look like a typical C-97 capable of flying to 25,000 feet, but it isn't. You know, we made the operation a lot simpler than when all the systems were operating. We just, the bare essentials for what we need.
What was the FAA's reaction when you said to them, hey, we want to get this airplane airworthy?
Well, we had a track record with our C-54, and they know how we approach our C-54 and our maintenance in it. So this was just an extension of what we've been dealing with over the years. So we've now been flying our C-54 25 years. That's hard to believe. I don't know where that time went to.
One of the other things is, seeing as how there are not many of these flying, where are you going to find instructors to teach you how to fly this airplane?
Well, there's a few around. We have a little system set up now. So we have quite a few spare parts, but you got to have more if you want to fly this thing for a number of years. We don't want to see it get up and running for 6 months and that's it. Our big help is going to be finding the resources to acquire what we need to keep this airplane going. Because now we bought another C-97. As a matter of fact, it was one owned by Aeropacifico. It was the last C-97 off of the assembly line from Boeing. We acquired that in Arizona and we tried to find a home for the fuselage and the airframe. Tried desperately to find a museum that would want it, could find none. So we ended up having to break it up, but we got quite a few spares from it. We got the four engines, the four props, a lot of spares from that airplane.
Have you found an overhaul shop that can handle these engines?
I believe there's only one located at Midwest. I haven't dove into that because we've always, like our C-54, we've always had our own spare engine. We may have to cross that line, you know, as time goes on.
What kind of preparations did you have to make for your first engine start?
Well, the first engine start, considering we parked that airplane in Brooklyn in 2002, and we just started it last year, 2015. You've got to get all the bad stuff in the engine out. Of course, we drained everything, and then there's a procedure in the maintenance manual about how to flush out the crankcase, which we did, the oil sump. And then we put in some oil, just turned it over, started it briefly, then drained that oil, and then put some more oil in, did a few engine runs, pulled the screens, drained that oil, and then put in fresh oil for the hard engine runs and the fly.
How did the screens look?
Oh, they were beautiful.
Ah, that's good.
Just unbelievably how clean they were.
Well, once you get her flying, where are you going to take her?
We're going to take it to our home base in Toms River, New Jersey for some avionics work. We got to get it out of New York. We've been there a long time. Hurricane Sandy destroyed the hangar we had use of, or damaged it to the point we couldn't use it anymore. So the hangar was condemned. We had to move all of our stuff outside for the past year. Phase two will be what we call our training phase. And that's where we start to get our people slowly brought into how to operate this airplane.
Well, you've got to train co-pilot, pilot, and a flight engineer as well.
Now, I'm rated in both positions, so I may end up being flight engineer for a while. I just want to do whatever has to be done to get it airborne safely. Like I said earlier, everything you do with this airplane, it takes a lot of effort. Just opening the doors takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, this is not a small airplane by any means.
It's a physical airplane. It's got circuit breakers in the front and the back, and the stairways, one in the front, one in the back, ladders, actually, down to the lower compartment.
Primary flight controls, boosted or unboosted?
They're servo tabs. They're aerodynamically boosted. The rudder, however, is hydraulically boosted.
You had mentioned something about a folding rudder tip on this airplane?
Yeah, this airplane has a folding vertical stabilizer. You remove a couple of bolts, and we took us years to find a special jack that bolts to the vertical fin and the left horizontal stabilizer. And then you crank the fin down, and it'll lay horizontal. That was to get it in and out of the hangars during those years. But over the years, we got so used to that, so used to folding that down and inspecting and lubricating it. I ran across some career mechanics for the Air Force that worked on C-97s, and how many of them told me they had no idea that the fin folded over because they never had to do it.
Yeah, the Air Force always had big hangars.
Right. They never addressed it, never had to do it. And I found that surprising.
Do you have a tentative date for her first flight?
There are so many issues, Eddie, considering where we're at. We're near JFK. We're across Jamaica Bay. You can see the runways at JFK. It's about 3 miles from where we're at. We're dealing with the national park. A lot of people aren't aware Floyd Bennett Field is a national park. Now, over the years, we had a trade program with the National Park Service where we could use our airplanes for what they call their interpretive park program, which was aviation. So we would trade off use of our airplanes for educational purposes for use of the hangar. And we did that for years. In the interest of public safety, and there's so many obstacles that might be in our way before we can actually take off. Officially, the field is closed. So it brings the New York Fire Department, the New York Police Department. The mayor of the city has to approve this. The FAA has to approve it. So there's so many obstacles that I can't say, yes, this is the date we're going to do it.
You're going to have a page and a half of alphabet agencies to go through before you can get this thing going.
And not to mention the last one, weather. But I'll be bringing in crews from California and Arizona to help me get it out of New York. Like I said, phase one is one problem, getting it out of New York. Phase two is different. That'll be bringing the organization up to speed on how to operate this airplane.
Operations, maintenance, all of that stuff. It's going to take time.
It takes time. Yes, it does.
That's what I would think if I saw it up close and personal. Holy moly, that's a big airplane.
It is. I'm so grateful and thankful every time I'm up around that. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe I've been fortunate enough to be around an airplane like this, because it is a beautiful piece of machinery.
You've got a website for people who want to check out and make donations to put her in the air?
Well, the website is www.spiritoffreedom.org. People are beginning to recognize the educational benefit of our onboard museum and exhibit. Still a tough program. It's always been hand-to-mouth since we started. But the C-97 is going to launch us into a different era. This is going to be the growing up phase.
So they can go on to your website and they can make a donation, as well as become a member, perhaps?
Absolutely. We're starting a program called a Tagger Team, and that's going to be for the real serious C-97 supporting folks that really want to get behind this project. And to become a member of the Tagger Team, it's going to be a donation every year, so to speak. And I've got a couple people now interested in doing that. And from that, if we can just be able to pay for things like insurance, which is a big drain. We're in the transport world. We are not privy to the flight experience like our fellow bomber crews get to do.
I hope to see this airplane in the air soon.
Thank you, Eddie.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Tim Chopp, president of the Berlin Airlift Historical Foundation. I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.